Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley. Certainly glad to have everybody with us this morning. Just want to review a few announcements. Most of them are printed in your bulletin, so I won't read all of them, but just a reminder that next Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper, so we invite everyone to join us and bring a guest so that we can start the new year off on the right foot. Also, gentle reminder from the treasurer that if you haven't paid for your Christmas poinsettias, that payment is due and they are $7.50 apiece. You can drop that check in the offering plate and make it payable to Glenshaw Valley. Just be sure you put a little note on it so that she knows it's for your poinsettias. Also, session will be meeting this afternoon after church, I guess still this morning, after church in the library for a brief meeting. And we would like to extend our sympathies to Paul McComb and his family. I see Jen is with us. Paul's uncle passed away this past week, and he is in New York for that service, so we extend our sympathy there. And we have an announcement this morning. Mark Tagey would like to speak to the congregation.
I'd just like to thank everyone for their prayers and cards. As I had went through my knee replacement surgery, you see how I walked up. I've come along pretty good, but I appreciate the team praying for me that I can strengthen it and get back to normal. But thank you for everyone. I appreciate it.
Also, just so anybody's not confused and you have an understanding of what's going on here today, as part of Christmas gift to Leonard, Session decided to give him today off after his extra work during the holiday season, and I am here sort of kicking things off because I was not at the session meeting. So, lesson to be learned there on a number of levels. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us join together in our opening hymn, number 151.
Thank you.
together in the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Almighty and loving God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our failures to you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, and in forgetting to love as you have called us to love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and grant us the strength we need to live in your light and walk in your ways. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment for our own personal confessions. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Christians around the world as we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Take a moment and say hi to everybody. Do the children want to come forward for the children's sermon? There's two, three, four.
We're going to wait a couple minutes to see if anybody else is coming. So let me ask you a question while we're sitting here. Did anything happen recently that was kind of, I don't know, exciting or baby related? No, nothing. Christmas. Okay, there's something good. And
look what we found.
Was it okay?
Yeah.
There you go. You want to sit here, sweetheart? Or sit here? Want to sit here?
Oh,
want to sit there? You can sit there. Okay? I got some right behind you. So anyway, here's what I wanted to ask you guys. If Christmas came, did you get everything you wanted?
Yeah.
Did you? And what was the best thing that you got? What was the best thing?
My favorite gigantic space robot.
Yeah, all right then. And what was your favorite thing?
My best electric robot.
Okay. And your favorite?
My helmet was like so proud on it for some reason.
Wow, that sounds great. What did you get that you like best?
I got the roller coaster.
Okay. And what did you like best?
My three Lego boxes.
Okay.
A phone.
A phone. Ooh, big time.
It either had to be my 2DS that I got or the giant jar of cheese balls.
Okay. And your favorite?
My Creo Transformer set.
Wow. I'll tell you what, you guys have been blessed in a big way with many, many gifts this Christmas, I'm sure. And I got a special gift this year, too. I got a phone call. And
a phone call.
I did. I got a phone call for the first time in 3 years. Imagine that. 3 years is a long time. I got a phone call. Yes, you're right. And a phone call from my granddaughter. First time I got to talk to her in 3 years. It was my best Christmas ever. I didn't realize how much I missed her till I heard her voice. And so I had a fabulous Christmas. And it was funny because I thought Christmas was about the gifts and giving and getting and things like that. And hear this little voice on the end of the phone made all the difference in my Christmas. And I know that you guys love your toys and things like that, and you love your families and everything. And it's just, we're so blessed to have them, you know? And so this Christmas, it meant a lot to me, and I wanted to share that with you guys, because when I get to come up here and talk with you and spend time with you, it makes me feel good because I have my buddies, and you guys are always in my life, so I love that. But the one thing I wanted to ask you to do this year, because we're so thankful because of the birth of Christ, which was the best gift we could ever have from anything. Remember I told you guys before, if I ever ask you a question up here, the smartest answer you could give me is Jesus or God. That's usually the one you want to go with. So for this particular time for us, you know, your answers were great. But, you know, it was actually the birth of Christ that made the difference for all of us this year. And I think without that, I wouldn't have heard that little voice on the end of the phone. So what I wanted to do was blessed with that, and I'm blessed with you guys. And I feel that every day we should try to think of something that we're blessed with because of Christ. And because God's in our life. And I think that, you know, we got our presents and we unwrapped them. And the best present, of course, was the birth of Christ. And that was the best part of our holiday. But what I wanted to do with you guys, if it's okay, and maybe the moms and dads can help, I wanted to see if I gave you guys a calendar book. And every day, you don't have to write a whole paragraph or anything, but every day, just write a note in the book, even if it's just one word, of something you're thankful for. One thing that you're thankful for. And then whether it's something that you were able to do to make someone feel better, maybe make someone smile or feel better, or maybe it was something someone did for you. Okay? But one word every day, just mark it in the book, and there's, you can start at the beginning of the year. Day number one for the very next year, which will be 2015, and we can start there. What do you think? Does everybody want to try that?
Yep.
Okay, so here are the books. Okay? Now you're going to have to decorate them. I didn't get time to decorate them, so you're going to have to decorate them. So everybody come over and get a book. Let's start with the books. Okay? There you go. Wait, let me pull them out here. Okay, there you go.
Blue. I'm getting blue.
Okay.
Red.
There's blue, black, red, whatever you like. What color do you want, Sarah?
Red. Why is there a hot pink?
Oh, you got the hot pink. Okay. Everybody have a book? Okay, now wait a minute. Now we have to decorate them. So here's the stickers. Now you have to pick your stickers. Look at those. Here, let's get them all over the place. You guys, pick some stickers. You got some animals.
I sneak attacked.
You sneak attacked. You can have two, of course. I'm easy. I'm a pushover. Go ahead, take two. Well, you can put them on the front of your book, so you can decorate it any way you want. And here's, let's see. And here's your butterflies, and there's a bunch of different happinesses, and so you guys can do whichever ones you want. Okay, one last thing. One last thing, guys, you're going to need this. And nobody's allowed to run with these either, so when we're done, you have to walk. Okay? No, it's a pencil. It's the old-fashioned thing. It's called pencil. Okay? Pencil? Another sneak attack, huh?
I got pink.
I got pink.
That is purple.
I got pink.
Okay, everybody have one? Okay, so I'd like you to sit down for 1 second with me. Let's clear space for you here, okay? And what we'd like to do is to sit. Okay, what we'd like to do then is to think about what we're going to put in our books every day, one word, okay? And if you need help from mom and dad, ask for help, okay? But one thing you're thankful for every day this year. And then next Christmas, we'll go back over that book and we'll look at it and see how good life was for you and see how good Christ is in your life, okay? So let's say a prayer. Can we all bow our heads? I know you can't fold your hands because they're full, but let's at least bow our heads.
We can take the stuff out of our hands.
Well, you can't fold your hands, but we're going to just bow our heads, okay? Okay. Thank you, God, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon each and every one of us. We thank you for the children in our lives. We thank you for the tiny voices that we hear when we're so unexpected. And we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you share with us. We know that we have a book, and we know that we can share, and we know that we'll think of you every day and thank you for something that's special to us. We ask that you be with us and that you go to school with us and you come home with us, you go to bed with us and you wake with us every day and be with us at all the time. And thank you for the new year that's coming and thank you for the greatest Christmas ever. Amen.
To serve.
responsive reading is number 652, Comfort. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?
And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
And I will pray the Father, and he will give you give you another counselor to be with you forever.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God.
For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort to him.
If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer.
Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort.
This time, Cheryl will come and give us our prayer concerns for today. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a prayer request today from Lynn Love. It's for her dad, George Betts. He is quickly failing, and I feel he is at the end of his struggle with cancer. She asks that we all pray that his suffering ends and he may be called home. We also have a prayer request from Carol and John Kane for Stephanie and Skylar, their daughter and granddaughter. They will be traveling to New York City so Skylar can audition for American Ballet Theater Young Dance Summer Program. I ask for prayers for safe travel and that Skylar has fun auditioning. From Kathy and Sandy, they're asking for prayers for a family who just lost their brother-in-law and father within 29 days of each other. They ask for prayers that the family will remain strong and faithful during these most difficult times. Suzanne Connor has a prayer request for a friend of hers, Barb Pofi. Her husband passed suddenly in October, and she is still having problems with grief. Do have a couple praise requests, also from Suzanne Connor, she had mentioned earlier, for Chris Connor helping to begin reuniting Grammy with Paige, her daughter. And a praise request from Carol and John Kane, please pray for all the people who wished us Merry Christmas as we were out and about. It was so nice to hear those words instead of Happy Holidays. Thank you. Let us take our concerns to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we begin today, as we should every day, by thanking you so much for the gift of your Son, the Son whose birth we celebrate now. Help us to continue to remember that birth as we go through the year and go back to our busy lives and the trees come down and the mangers get put back in the boxes. Help us to continue to remember the reason that we celebrate. Lord, also help us to remember the life of that little tiny baby and the things that he did for us, the care and compassion that he showed, the suffering that he exhibited to save us from our sin. Help us to endure our suffering that seems so great and to put things into perspective as we remember that suffering. Lord, remember those who have been named here today, those who are named in our bulletin, those that we keep quietly and silently in our hearts. Help them to continue to gain strength, and let us not pray for our own requests or our own outcomes, but help us to accept your will and help us to pray that we can receive your will with an open heart. Lord, help us with all of these things. We pray in the way that that precious baby taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 128, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
you, dear God, for the wonderful, faithful people of Huntsville Valley Presbyterian Church. We give our gifts in honor of you, and we want to help make this church a continuing success. We thank you in your name. Amen.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved, and he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Wow, give me the hard ones. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
I, too, wasn't at the session meeting. But my wife was. So I gave her slumber. Please join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the scriptures to reveal your love for us and to call us into your presence as your adopted children. I pray that the words that I speak today resulting from the meditation on your scriptures are pleasing to you on this Lord's Day. Amen. Today's message is based on the scripture that is taken from the Old Testament book of Psalms. Before discussing Psalm 121, I would like to offer some background into the book of Psalms and how they were used in biblical times. In Hebrew, the book of Psalms is called the Sefer Tehillim, which translates as the Book of Praises. The Hebrew Septuagint scholars translated the Hebrew title into Greek and called it Psalmoni, from which we get our word psalm. The meaning of psalmoni is songs to be accompanied with a plucked string instrument. This indicates that the psalms are lyrical poems to be read and to be sung in prayer and praise of our Lord. The psalms reflect a wide range of human emotions, desires, and feelings of these people whose souls were stirred by the Spirit of God to compose them. The Psalms include expressions of sorrow and joy, fear of enemies, and requests for deliverance from them, repentance, praise and glory to the Lord, and confidence in God's justice, goodness, mercy, power, and His majesty. The 150 Psalms were written by at least seven different authors over a period of 1,000 years. This period begins from the time of Moses, who is credited with writing the first psalm, Psalm 90, in the 15th century BC, through the time of David, who is credited with writing 73 of the psalms, and it ends in the time of the destruction of Jerusalem and the Israelite Babylonian exile in the 3rd century BC. In biblical times, the reading and singing of psalms were an integral part of the worship life of the Jewish people. For example, Psalms 113 through 118, or the Egyptian challah, were sung as part of the traditional Jewish observance of Passover. Our Lord and the disciples sang these psalms at the Passover observance on the night our Lord was betrayed. In both Mark and Matthew, these words are at the conclusion of the Passover observance. And when they had sung a song, they went out to the Mount Olives. This indicates that Psalm 118 may have been the last song that Jesus ever sang before going to the Mount of Olives to pray. The Psalms must also have been on the minds of the apostles as they wrote the Gospels and the Epistles, for there are more references to the Psalms in their writings than from any other book of the Old Testament. Today's scripture passage, Psalm 121, is part of a group of Psalms, 120 to 134, known as the Songs of Ascents. These songs were sung by the Jewish pilgrims as they made their annual trips to Jerusalem for the observance of the religious festivals of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. The journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem is about 70 miles. This is equivalent in distance to a trip from here to Johnstown. It took them about 7 days for the pilgrims to walk from the Lake Galilee area to Jerusalem over rough, hilly roads. On these roads were many hazards, like robbers, people hostile to the Israelites, like the Samaritans. There were wolves, lions, and bad weather. At night, if the pilgrims were fortunate, they were able to find someone who would let them stay in their house. Often they slept underneath the stars, for there were no Holiday Inns along the way. They also had to carry all their provisions, for there were no Cracker Barrels or McDonald's along the way either. The singing of songs gave comfort to the pilgrims as they traveled, much like the comfort I give Shawnee as I sing pop songs in the car as we travel. Psalm 121 is specifically known as the Pilgrim's Psalm, for it speaks of God's keeping the traveler safe from the dangers of the world. Several times in the Gospels, we are told that Jesus, both in his youth and his ministry, traveled to Jerusalem for Passover. Since Jesus was blameless under the law, one might expect that he made the pilgrimage annually. And one might rightfully imagine Jesus in the company of his family or disciples singing Psalm 121 as they near Jerusalem. Now this brings me to the imagery and the message in the first two lines of Psalm 121. Now imagine, if you will, you are a pilgrim and you are walking through the dangerous wilderness, and you've been doing it for a week on your way to Jerusalem. You are still a bit fearful because of the hazards that you've endured and that what you imagine on the way back. As you are singing Psalm 121 for comfort, you come up over a hill, and suddenly before you are Jerusalem and the temple in all their glory. You look to the hills and see Jerusalem, the seat of the secular power of Rome, and the temple, the symbol of religious power for the Jewish people. Then you sing the words, "I lifted my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" Can these two symbols of power be your complete help and protection? The Psalms writer answers the next line, "No, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Now, how awesome is that? You see before you the trappings of the Roman Empire, at the time the greatest empire on the world. You also see the temple. It is the temple of our Lord, yet it has been corrupted by the Sadducees and, to a lesser extent, the Pharisees for their own personal power. I ask you to think back about the money changers in the temple yard. You cannot count on either the Romans or the religious leaders to keep you safe or to give you comfort. There is but only one that you can count on. Only God can keep his people protected and safe. Psalm Psalm 23, line 4, has a confirming message. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Both these verses confirm that only the Lord keeps us safe from physical dangers of this world and is the source of our comfort. Now in lines 3 and 4 of Psalm 121, the psalmist writes, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." And further, as a further explanation of this passage, I refer you to Psalm 37, 23 through 24. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his own hand. In other words, as one of God's people, he sets our path towards righteousness. And even though we may stumble into sin from time to time, God restores us back to that path. He is ever vigilant about it, keeping us in his hand on the path of righteousness. Now, this reminds me of the German bedtime prayer that my grandparents taught me when I was a young child. Liebe Gott, o mach mich von, dass ich in den Himmel komme. Translated into English, this says, "Dear God, make me righteous until I come into heaven." God vigilantly keeps us on the path of righteousness, especially when we are the most vulnerable. When we are walking in the darkness where we may stumble. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor by the moon at night. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will keep your life. The symbolism of the Lord shading your right hand indicates our Lord is by your right side, keeping you safe from all evil and harm. Nothing the sun, the moon, or evil will harm you as long as the Lord is walking by your side with us shading our right hand. If necessary, when we are incapable of protecting ourselves, he will come to the task and he will keep us safe. Now this reminds me of this story where a man is looking back over his life with Jesus. He notes that for most of the time, there were two sets of footprints. However, sometimes when the times were the hardest, there was only one set. The man remarked to Jesus, "Why did you desert me at the worst of times?" Jesus' reply was that he hadn't been deserted. Those were the times when Jesus carried the man. Jesus is always walking beside us to keep us safe from all evil. Now, line 8 can be interpreted to refer to the Lord's keeping us in several different settings. The Lord will keep you going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. One setting is in everyday life where you come home and you go away. Another setting could be the church, where the Lord keeps you safe while you are within the sanctuary of the church and also when you're out in the world. But the ultimate setting is the promise of the Lord keeping you both in this world and in the next. In this last setting, the Lord is our keeper, bring us ultimately to heaven. Now last Sunday, Nancy Kagi shared with me and the Bible Fellowship group that Psalm 121 was her mother-in-law's favorite scripture. Nancy's mother-in-law would often quote the psalm to her son and Nancy when times were tough. One can see why. For Psalm 121 reveals much about our God's nature as our keeper and should give us much comfort in these days. Psalm 121 reminds us that the Lord, our God, keeps us safe from most physical dangers. keeps us on the path of righteousness, is our protector, keeping us safe from evil, is our Savior, keeping us forevermore. The Lord is our keeper. Let us pray together. Our God in heaven, as the year ends and we approach a new year, the news media inundates us with all kinds of stories recounting all the disasters, the murders, the robberies, the wars, and the deaths that have taken place in the past year. Listening to these reports, we become fearful. We start worrying about the future. It is good that when we look to your scriptures, we are reminded that you are our keeper forevermore, that you will keep us safe here on earth, and that you are our eternal Savior. To you all praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. I can see I'm following in good footsteps, for I forgot the hymn response. It's 138. Go tell it on the mountain.
Remind the session, we're having a meeting following in the library. Communion is next Sunday, and hopefully we have an ordination to session council on the second Sunday, if everyone can be there. I hope you can come out. I want to say goodbye to Mark and Michelle. Michelle will be leaving to go to Florida this coming week, and Mark will go down in a few weeks, so we will miss them. I want to thank Bill and Arlie, Clara and Shawnee for participating in the service and everybody that had a part of it and being here. And I hope you have a wonderful new year. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you go feeling a sense of peace and love. Hope that you'll go back to your homes and you'll pick up your Bibles and you'll open up the Psalms and you will read through them and let them minister to your heart, your mind, your soul. As you go from here, go in love and grace and mercy, and go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.